Well, good morning. I'm glad that you guys had a chance to talk and get to hope. Did anybody meet somebody for the first time that you didn't know their name? Okay, good. It's working. That's awesome. That's what we want right there. All right, quiz time. No, I'm just kidding. So this morning, before we get into the message this morning, we have Brian and Annie who have been attending our church. Brian works a lot on Sundays, so he's unable to be with us on many Sundays, but today we captivated him and got him away from work long enough. Today they're coming to dedicate their children to God. Now, we know that this dedication this morning is not the children's salvation. We know that this is an attitude and an action on Brian and Annie's part that says, God, we give our children, who we know where they came from. We know that they came from God, but we also give them to you. And the Bible's really descriptive on a couple of things about considering the home. And in Psalms 127, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows, did you guys know you are a reward? You are a reward. See that right there? An offspring, a reward from God. So you're actually from God. So anytime you get in trouble, you just tell mom and dad, I'm from God. By the way, I don't think it'll try to change the outcome, but it says that like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And so, Brian and Annie, your kids are given to you by God and to be raised and to know him, to love him, to pursue him. And so one of the things that we like to do at the Fellowship of the Rockies is make that challenge that we ask you if you will raise your children to know God. We will. And then as a congregation, I'm going to ask you if you will be the support and if you will be the encouragement to Brian and Annie to also be the examples of raising these kids for God, the congregation says. Boom. So I'm going to pray and dedicate your children to God, and we have something for them. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for a chance to have this couple come and dedicate their children to you. Father, we ask that you would protect them. We ask that you would give wisdom and insight to Brian and Annie as they raise them daily, having conversations. They would know what to say, when to say it. And Father, when the times come when they have to bring a correction, that they would do so with love. Father, they would also call upon this congregation, upon us as a body of believers, to assist when needed. Father, that we as a congregation would see these three grow to know who you are, love you passionately, and know their place in your kingdom. So that, Father, we're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. And then just something for you guys right here. So this is for you back here. That's right there. Okay, good. You're welcome. And then I was trying to figure out which way I should go with what color. I don't know how you guys got that worked out today, but this worked out perfectly right there. Thank you guys for being up here today. Here's a certificate for all of them. Thank you guys so much for coming. Brian, thank you so much. Go ahead and have a seat. Today we continue our series on just the very topic. We'll probably even just get done from dedicating some kids to God, and as a parents do that. From this day forward, it's a continuation of what they're already doing. Today we talk about a subject called our words. Words matter. Just as we offered those kids to God in a dedication of a prayer, those words mean a whole lot. Words are powerful. And in our SOS series, our Sage of Summer, we realize that when we get to this topic here this morning, it's a topic that's often not really discussed, but it's a topic that's really very, very powerful. We also realize that in our key truth, there is profit in Proverbs. When we look at the passage of Scripture today, there's going to be many passages that we're going to flip through to gain insight and wisdom on this concept. But your words are important. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. It means that words have been in the past, they are currently, and they will always be powerful. With the risk of running into monotony this morning, we've prayed for our country, we've dedicated some children to God. I promise it'll be short, but I would like to ask God, the power of His Holy Spirit, to take these passages of Scripture we're going to read and align us with Him this morning. If you would, bow your heads and pray with me. Father in heaven, we believe Your Word is powerful. We believe it was written by the power of Your Holy Spirit, without error. It is profitable for correction, for teaching and admonition. Father, we ask for that today. Today we ask that our presuppositional minds would be set aside and we'd be allowed to absorb what Your Word says, and our lives today would be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Because words are so powerful, they can inspire, they can create success, and they can also get you into a lot of trouble. There's some examples from our culture around just how great words are. We all know these words because they were spoken at times in which and then they still resonate throughout the history and still are very fresh today. It was FDR who said at the lowest point of the Depression, in his first inauguration speech, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." President Reagan spoke 6 words in 1987. "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." Nancy Reagan began to change the national approach to drug abuse with the 3 words, "Just say no." Even Hillary Clinton was able to raise money using the African proverb that she was endeavoring to show the impact of individuals and groups outside the family for the outcome of raising kids. For better or for worse, you'll remember the phrase, "It takes a village to raise a child." George Bush Sr. said 6 words in his inauguration when he says, "Read my lips, no new taxes." I'd share some words from our current president, but there's just so many tweets. I had to do that. Jewish rabbis have said for centuries that he who multiplies words multiplies sin. God tells us that also in Proverbs 10:19, when He says, "Sin is not ended by multiplying words." So I think about it myself. If the Bible says that sin is not ended by multiplying words, and the rabbis used to think that he who multiplies words multiplies sin, then it's easy for me as a pastor to think that the more I talk, the more I sin. The less I talk, the less I sin. I think that'll be good enough for this week, and I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. See you all next Sunday. Amen. Okay, we're just going to add 5 more minutes for that. The Proverbs has so much to say about the words of your mouth, your tongue, the words you use. Over 150 times in the book of Proverbs, it talks about how we use our words. We're going to read all 150 verses and do a dissertation on every one of them today. And I shouldn't have said that, because he who talks too much talks sin, right? We're not doing that today. James even talks about this. One of the first letters of the New Testament, he says that though the tongue is small, it can set a fire like the fire of hell. That's James' equation to the tongue, of what you can say. You can do something like that. Oh man, words are important, and there's 2 reasons they're important. It's because of the very sheer quantity of the things that we use. Researchers say, and you could do your research on this and probably come up with different amounts, but the research that I found was that if you open your mouth on an average of 700 times a day, you'll use an average of 18,000 words. It's quite a few words, but okay. 18,000 words could actually translate to 54 printed pages. It means in 1 year, the average person could fill up 66 books of 800 pages each with their words. That's a lot of words. The one that really gets me on that concept, about that research, about those many words, is that Jesus says in the Gospels, there's a day coming when you'll give an account for all your words. Ooh. It's an amazing idea and a concept to be thinking about. Your words do really, truly matter then. because of the amazing power of their words. That's another reason, amazing power of the words. That Plato said this once. He said that wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools, because they have to say something. Right. With your words, you can either say something worthwhile or you can say something worthless. Back to the proverb that we're using today as our springboard, the tongue has the power of life and death. Our words can often make a difference for good. Sometimes they make a difference for not good. So when we're in need of help and we're in distress, we can turn to Proverbs because it gives us some wisdom insight. So let's go through some of the uses of the words. Let's go through the first part is the uses of the words that are wrong. Wrong uses of our words. Number one, flattery. Flattery. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Verse 23 of the next two chapters later, Proverbs 28, it says, whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than one who has a flattering tongue. I want to remind you this morning that Proverbs speaks in general terms. Proverbs speaks in terms that are not emphatic for every single situation. It's a generalized situation. In other words, this is the general way that it works. Let me explain the verse that's on the screen, 28:23. Whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than one who has a flattering tongue. It's a general idea that people do not mind having some instruction. We're growing into a place in our society, though, where that's becoming less and less of an appreciated conversation. People sometimes would rather you just tell them what they want to hear and let them go rather than what they need to hear. Right? Sometimes telling a person what they need to hear at the wrong time is not always good either. But people would just rather be flattered. In some cases, they would just rather be flattered and I don't need and I don't want instruction rather than hearing some instruction. What Proverbs is saying, though, is that in a general form, the person who will offer the correction or the rebuke in the end will gain favor because sometimes it'll come back to the person says, you were right, thank you for correcting me. In other words, you're heading down this pathway in life, and it's going to create some danger for you. It's going to create something that's going to come out in the long run really bad. And so you speak up, and you give somebody a corrective conversation. Proverbs is saying in a general format, they'll appreciate that, rather than the one that says, I don't see any problems with doing what you're doing. Go ahead, have a great time. Proverbs is saying in a general format, you'll be appreciated if you tell the truth. So I would think that that you have to really remember something. It's very key that you have good relationships during these conversations. So therefore, if you have to give a corrective conversation, I think I've just coined that term for the day, a corrective conversation meaning a rebuke, or you want to give somebody a little bit of a coaching session, corrective conversation, have a relationship with them to where you could tell them, I love you, I care for you, and because I do, I want to have this conversation with you. That would be the key issue, rather than to dismiss something and say, go and do whatever you want. You're doing great. Life is going to be great for you when it really isn't. So flattery doesn't work so well. Number two, gossip. Boy, is this a powerful one. Gossip is one that we've all either experienced it, done it, or watched it do its damage. No matter where gossip is, gossip can destroy when applied in the malicious sense. Good gossip about talking people up and seeing how they're doing great is a good thing, but bad gossip is a destroyer. Look what Proverbs says about gossip. Proverbs 10:18. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Spread slander is a fool. Last week, if you were in church last week and you heard that message on what a fool is, it is not the best place to be in that category when you're dealing with the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 16:28 says, a gossip separates close friends. You've seen it done. You may have experienced it. You've watched it happen, or you've seen the fallout from it taking place. It'll do it. Verse number 9 of Proverbs 17 says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense. Oh, I like that one. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. There are some things in these three verses that we've just read that gives us some encouraging ideas and concepts. Number one, you don't have to share everything that you know. You don't have to do that all the time. Just because you come across some information or you see an action or you've been told something doesn't mean you have to repeat it. Doesn't have to mean you have to give it to somebody else. You don't have to share everything that you know. That's the problem that happens. You get into a conversation and something you've seen or heard, then you begin to add it to the conversation and the fire begins to get stronger and greater and then friends get separated. And then also sharing too much. Sometimes you just don't have to share a whole lot. There may be times that you must have a conversation with another individual about another individual to remedy a certain situation. You may have to do that, but it doesn't just get stopped there. We have to go through with it and try to help do the correction when we need to. Here's something else. Keeping quiet can sometimes make things better. Sometimes it can. If you're in a conversation where somebody is mad at another individual and they're fumed up and they're telling you all this stuff that another individual did, and you just say, by the way, I also saw him do this, that would have been a good time to be quiet. That would have been a good time to, you know, I don't need to add any more fuel to this fire. As a matter of fact, I need to figure out how to get some cool, smoothing words here to calm this fire down. So there's always some good questions to ask yourself when you get ready to speak about something. You know, to think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? I mean, how many times would, even as a parent, when you have to give correction to your child, the way you're going to choose those words to do that, I think you're going to have to be firm sometimes. I think you will have to. I know each one of our three kids probably thought once a few times in their life growing up, oh my goodness, are they mad? And I would tell them, I am mad. I'm so mad right now, I can't even use words. So I'm going to have to go and calm down for a little bit, and we'll come back and have a conversation later. Sometimes that can happen like that. And you may have to use that so that they get that picture. But even in using those words, you want to be careful how those words are even being used, because it can be very, very tough on what's happening. Number three, lying. Lying is another powerful one. It says it in a couple of verses, but the two we picked out today. Proverbs 14:25, a truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. If you do a research on the word deceitful and the word deceit in the entire scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament, if you do a word research on it, you'll find at times that the word deceit is equated over to the occult, which is the satanic involvement. He is so deceitful. That is so anti-God. You want to be careful with that when you're toying with those words. Look what he says. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. That's like, wow, how many times you see in our social media, how many times we see in our movies, how many times we see in all of our areas going on, the covering up for each other back and forth. I don't know if anybody's paying attention to Proverbs, but it's saying, hey, that is not a good place to be. 12:19, Proverbs, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Proverbs has little windows, has little tiny flashes that say, look out, here's an eternal perspective. See, a truthful lips endure forever. A lying tongue lasts only a moment. Most likely even being applied to the idea that one will be restricted right here to this earth and it's over, while the other one would be in eternity. Number four, evil seduction. We called it evil seduction today because it seems to emerge out of some of the passages of Proverbs that happened today. The evil words or evil seduction, let's call it evil seduction, have led to the infidelity and the destruction of marriages today. Check out Proverbs chapter number 3, Proverbs 5, 3 and 4. For the lips of the adulterous woman, and you can insert or man, drip honey. and her speech or his speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, it is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Words are where problems begin that lead to actions that cannot be undone. Words are the start of that. Words are the start of that. It's always admiring whenever you find a couple who have very clear, precise instructions on how to communicate to somebody who is not each other. Proverbs 22:14 says, "The mouth of an adulterous woman," and once again we can insert a man, "is a deep pit. A man or woman who's under the Lord's wrath falls into it." Your words can be used to bless and point and reflect to God, or they can you be used to drag others into sin. I would say choose our words wisely. Now, there's another use, there's a final use of words that are wrong, and it is the too much talk. Again, Proverbs 10:19, "Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues." Verse 13 of chapter 12, Proverbs, "Evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble." Evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk. They get to talking so much, they get to saying so many thoughts and concepts that before long they can't remember what they've said, who they said it to, and how it came across. But the ones who are quiet, that remain innocent, are able to escape trouble. This is wise. I'm one who's an extrovert who has to process everything out. So I have to kind of rein myself back in to say, you don't have to just spout off everything I know all the time and process it. My wife was like, "That's it? You only have 10 words? That's all you got. No more." Proverbs 17:27-28 says this, "The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues." You remember the old proverb that you find in little proverb sayings? It says, "It's better to remain silent and be thought of a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." Do you not get that? Okay, good. The first group just laughed like crazy, so I just was thinking maybe you guys were having trouble with it. It's that concept right there. It's the idea that sometimes even being quiet, you can be considered a wise person, even when you're not. It's not a bad thing to be considered wise when you're not wise. It's okay. You won't have to speak it up and reveal anything that you talk about. And like we said earlier, you don't have to talk about everything. You don't have to give your opinion on everything. You don't have to know every answer. You have to comment on everything that happens in life. You don't have to answer every question that comes to you. Maybe if it was to the point that we would listen more and speak less. Now, if we had the wrong use of words, there's the right use of words. The right use of words are these: wise counsel and sound advice. Wise counsel and sound advice. Proverbs 10:31, "From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom." From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom. Verse 7, Proverbs 15, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge." What comes from a person who's walking with God when they're in a conversation are two things: knowledge and wisdom. Wise counsel. I won't try to go into it as long as I did the first service, but I want to tell you something. Sound advice and wise counsel are something that isn't always thought or sought of today. Our congregation, I know it doesn't reflective of today necessarily, but our congregation this coming fall, if our momentum continues in its attendance, we're going to have a real tight squeeze at the 10:30 service come this fall. So we have to have some answers. We have to have some direction. And we've been talking about it with some of you, and we want everybody's ideas and thoughts. We want you to tell us what, you know, out of our options that we're finding so far, the best one. There's the option that to accommodate more people on a weekend service, we could rent a church downtown in the Fountain area near the middle school. We could rent a school, a regular school, and we'd all be together in one service. We could do three services here to accommodate people here, so we could have a base big enough to eventually build onto our building. I can't tell you the pros and cons and the list of how long each of those scenarios are. Going downtown to rent a church, the scenarios of the pros and cons, and there's good things and there's negative things. Renting a school, There's good things and negative things. Renting the schools, yeah, we got a school. It's a cheap rent. And we're all there together. But Darren's there at 4 a.m. setting up chairs so you guys can come in and sit down. Most of you made it at 10:30. Some of you made it at 10:40. So I don't see the, see? Yeah, you're getting it, aren't you? See, it'd be a little tough, wouldn't it? It's a lot to think about. Third service here. Oh, that's like great because we're right here. We don't have to do anything. It's not, well, third service. That's a lot of practice and a lot of getting ready. Some people look at me and go, can you do three services? I'm like, hey, I do two now. They're two different messages. I add in a third message, three different messages every week. Doesn't bother me. Do you realize sometimes people say my second message is different from my first message? Okay, so I'm just saying that a third message, we'd have three of them. So you could just stay for all of them if you wanted to. I want to seek some wise counsel and sound advice on this because whatever we decide to do as a congregation, we don't want to have just flippant decisions on this. This is serious stuff. Well, we got to move forward together and what God wants us to do. So we seek and we pray about that. Number two, the way you can use words positively is for correction. Correction. This is one of my favorite proverbs. It's kind of a telling proverb. It's Proverbs 17:10. It says, a rebuke impresses a discerning person. A rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes a fool. In other words, you could lash a fool 100 times and he's not impressed. But a rebuke, a corrective conversation, a little wisdom insight to a discerning person is impressed. If I were to walk up to you and say, are you a discerning person? And you were to say, yeah, I'm a discerning person. Okay, I'd like to give you a little correction in your life. No way. You just moved from discernment to fool, according to that passage of Scripture. So what happens whenever somebody steps into your life and gives you a little bit of a corrective conversation, I'm telling you right now, if that person's a godly person and searches after God, I'd be listening to that. I wouldn't walk off and just go back to my same pathway. Here's something else. We said it a few weeks ago, Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted. When you have people that have your reputation, they have your love, they love you, and they want you to do everything that would give you a development with Jesus Christ and a walking with Him, that person's phrases can be trusted there. Encouragement is the third one. Another one is encouragement. You know, in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Have you ever had to talk to a person consistently who's just always sees the glass half empty? Every single thing is going to be a problem. My day is going to be the worst day. I'm never going to have a good... Everything goes bad for me. And you're the one that's always trying to go, well, look, let's look at this. This is a positive side. It's a good side of this equation. There's times to do that, and there's times to say the right words. For an example, it kind of connects with 15:23 in Proverbs. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply. You want to help the situation, and how good is a timely word? There are times in which your words can be good, but at the wrong time. You don't want to look at somebody who is maybe staring at a tragic situation where a parent is terminally passing away, and they have young children, and they're looking at this, and they're saying, well, God is good all the time. The statement is accurate, but it's in the wrong place. Or you want to say to a person, how many times whenever our daughter was first diagnosed with cancer, we got all these cards that were sent to our house from people that had heard about us, telling us, you know, pray and get your heart right with God. That's a good phrase. Pray and get your heart right with God is a good phrase. I just didn't need to hear it when my daughter was just diagnosed with cancer. So I'm not even going to tell you what I did with those cards. Do you see the difference is that a timely word at the right spot is what needed to be done. Sometimes when a person's having a really bad day, week, month, year, you may have to address the negative. You're right. This isn't any fun. But God has a plan for this. And you have to sense when that is a good time to say that phrase. And whenever he's saying, he's strengthening you or growing you, maybe that person doesn't want to hear that. A relationship will make all the difference in the world. Verse 24, Proverbs 16, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Please hear me. You will never impact a person so deeply as you will when you offer gracious words to a time of their failure. When they mess up, or they lose that job, or something lands in their lap and they look back and they realize, this is something I caused, and everywhere else they're getting judged and condemned, and you sit down and say, I want to speak to you some grace. I want to give you some good words. Life isn't over. Life's not done. You are still here. And you can make a difference. It's an interesting concept to always be doing that, but to know when to do that. So the other thing your words can do is share Jesus Christ. Proverbs 10:20, the lips of a righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. People slip into eternity because they've never, ever been introduced to the concept that Jesus Christ would save them. Chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. Amazing passage of Scripture. Okay, in the end, taming our words. Taming the tongue. What are we going to do? Number one, admit you have a problem, or if you don't want to admit you're having a problem, I'll let you off slightly today, and you can say this. Admit that it could be a problem. You want to go that route? Okay. We'll take that one. I live in a world and where I talk a lot, so using words carefully and strategically can be a problem. So therefore, memorize James 1:9. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Ask a friend for help. You got a close friend that talks to you often? If you had the courage, I would tell you, listen, if I'm talking about people, or I'm being negative, or I am spreading things that are less than inspirational, will you tell me about that? I didn't do this in the first service, so I'll correct it next week. Our campus, in this upswing of momentum, needing space for more people, I'm going to tell you, our enemy will not set by and allow us to have a free pass and a free avenue of just easy going, growing to the next level. Do you agree with me? But I'm going to tell you something that I'm hoping really wakes you up right now. He probably won't use someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ and outside of the congregation to really stop our growth. Most likely, he'll find one of us in here that he can turn, and we start using negative words, and we start talking about me, my preferences, what I want, what I want to do. And that's how it gets started. So actually, getting a friend to help, whenever we are challenging each other, and somebody says, I've got a close enough friend that if I start getting negative, I want that friend to tell me about that. That's a friend. Ask a friend for help. Number four, give it to God. You ever said this? God, I want you to have my words. Romans chapter 6 says, give him all of the members of our body so that we won't commit sin. How about our mouth? God, I'm giving you my words today. Even Psalm says, the writer of Psalms, one of the passages said, God, put a guard over my mouth so that I do not speak that which is untrue. Psalms 16:1, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. As we pray and we go forward and we think about the things that we have to do as this congregation and as this church, there's a lot that happens. I'll leave you with a challenge today. It's on your chairs. The challenge is this. Taming the tongue challenge is 21 days. They say that 21 days takes a habit, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you accomplish this in 21 days, the habit of speaking correctly and speaking with the right words could probably jump right off again in about a half an hour. So you may want to figure out, get some good friendship. But here's something you can do for 21 days. Four things. Speak an encouraging word every day to someone. Speak no lies. That might mean that we have to be quiet at some point. Speak no gossip. And then the fourth one, say I love you to someone. For those of you that don't interact with a lot of people outside of your direct influence, say I love you to your children. Each one of them, and it probably wouldn't hurt them to hear it several times a day. Or even the people that you live with or you're closest to, I love you. People that you're doing studies together, your life together, and you're growing together so that they know. I'm telling you something. We have a chance. Take this momentum that we're moving forward and keep it moving. But we have an enemy that is not going to be happy with life change and with people attending church. He just isn't going to stand by and let it go. And he'll do everything in the world he can. I say we combat that with the idea that our words matter, and we begin today changing just how we say our words. Now, it doesn't mean that when we're done our service here in a few seconds that you don't say anything to anybody. We want to talk. We want to just talk good words. Father in heaven, as we come to you this morning and we just thank you for this passage, we thank you so much for these verses that we've been able to look at and gain some wisdom and insight and challenges. Father, we also pray for this offering this morning that as we take it, that we are allowed to make an impact right here in this community. Father, that there are people who are in pain today, they're in darkness today, and they're asking questions, but they don't know who to ask them to, and they are even fearful sometimes of the answers. Father, would today be a chance for us as a congregation to have the provision that we could minister to them using our words and this income, Father, that we have been granted. Father, I pray this morning that you would allow us to make an alignment choices that are different when it comes to our words, knowing that they're serious and that they matter. Father, help us to bring grace and kindness to those who hear our words. In Jesus' name, amen.